Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
My debut book, Manifest, 7 Steps to Living Your Best Life, is out now, and you can order it from Amazon, Waterstones, or any other major bookshop. In this book, you will learn absolutely everything that you need to know about manifestation. You will understand that it really is a self-development practice to live by, to empower yourself, to step into your light, to become the best version of yourself that exists, and to attract anything you want into your life. I cannot wait for you all to read it. And if you love it, please don't forget to rate and review on Amazon, Audible, or wherever you purchased it from. Thank you so much and happy manifesting. Hello and welcome back to The Moments That Made Me. With me, your host, Roxy Nafusi. Today, I am joined by the absolutely beautiful Freddie Harel. Freddie is a Parisian-born blogger, confidence coach, and creator of Rad Swan, a hair care brand that makes premium synthetic Afro hair extensions and wigs. I have been so inspired by reading her journey, and I cannot wait to find out what her three defining moments are that led her to where she is today. Hi, Freddie.
Hi.
How are you? Rosie.
I am good. Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be here today.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. And we were just talking just before, you've got two children. And I was just saying, oh my gosh, because I feel like having one is easy in comparison. How are you feeling?
very tired. Like, it's crazy when I think about that, like, a few months ago, I was actually, you know, I had enough sleep. I was actually okay. Like, you know, in hindsight, it wasn't enough. And now you're like, okay, oh, okay, I see.
Bless you. So, Freddie, we basically just kick off by going straight in to your first defining moment.
Okay. So my first defining moment, and by the way, it's very hard to pick three. I would say it's back when I went for a year abroad as part of my studies. My third year in university. I mean, I did a business school. I studied in France, and so we had to go for a year abroad. So I went for the first semester in Shanghai in China, and the second semester I studied in Madrid in Spain, and then I did like a long internship in London. So I really credit this year for being one of those three moments, because as you know, I was born and raised in France, but I'm also like the daughter of immigrants. My parents were born in Cameroon in West Africa, and I think I've always felt you very stand out. Like, I've always been in private schools, but I don't come from money at all. I was just really good at school, so my parents really invested so I could go into private schools. And so I would always feel like I was very different, and even more as one of the few black girls, that someone with less money than everyone else. So it was kind of a feeling that stuck with me for so long, because from the age of 10, and even I didn't go to uni. I went to business school. So it's even that, but even like worse in terms of contrast. But going abroad, when I went to Shanghai, first it was very interesting to be, like I stood out almost just as much as my white school friends, you know, we were all like different there. So it was kind of nice to kind of be seen as, you know, like almost on par. And I think also to realize that, and I felt also, it was also interesting to see how from, like, by being abroad, all of a sudden I get to be French. So, like, your culture, like, then you have a different perspective on your culture and where you're from and what makes you. That was very interesting to be, for the first time, granted, you know, like, being, like, this citizenship that, you know, that is, like, the country where I've lived in. But I think it also gives me it's a good balance. I love being a foreigner. It really gave me this window on what freedom could look like. Because I think I would always feel like I stand out, like I always feel like an outcast. I think I'm also very, as my own personality, I'm quite very introverted. I live in my head a lot. So I don't know, you know, like maybe I always feel like I'm a bit weirder than everybody else anyway. But it's almost like being abroad, living abroad, it's almost like having more of that license to be different. And I love that. And then I think I wouldn't be, when I moved to London, like I did my internship in London that year and I loved it. I really loved, it's so funny because I went to London when I was 11 for the first time with school and I hated it. I hated it, like I came with school and we were left to stay with like families, like of older people. And anyway, like I don't know, like I didn't have a good experience. I just thought it was weird. And so when I came back for that internship, I wasn't really thrilled initially, but then I absolutely loved it. And I was like, I need to come back to London. I need to come back. So when I came back years later, you know, like I sometimes like to say, like I was born in France, but I was made in London.
I love that. And,
like the Navy, the Navy advert.
Yeah.
But absolutely, and I think I would not have turned into who I am today if I hadn't felt this freedom of being a foreigner, like being an outsider.
I think that's so interesting. I've really never kind of thought about that, but I suppose you're right. If you grew up in a place and you felt that you were different, and I think that's a really overwhelming feeling as a child, a teen. And it definitely, I think, changes something inside of you. Like it really does something on a quite a deep level. Because I felt that I had a similar experience growing up, so I feel I can relate. But then I never really considered that actually when you become a foreigner and someone completely different, that becomes irrelevant. In a strange way, you feel more part of, you feel closer to the place that you grew up in than you do when you're there.
Yeah, yeah. And it's also like it's kind of claiming a privilege, I feel. So first, you know, it's kind of like almost switching, it's kind of like turning the story, because I, as someone who's daughter of immigrants, like being a foreigner is like a feeling that I'm very familiar with, you know. But it's a different spin because my parents came from Africa in Mexican immigrants, but me, I'm French, I'm moving to another European country, so it makes me an expat, you know. It's kind of it's like claiming a privilege, but that is rooted in the hypocrisy, right, of the of our culture. But also I think when I'm in France, and I think it's just like when I'm in privilege, I really insist on that, because I think it also has played a part in the opportunities I've had even here in the UK. When I'm in France, if I tell you where I was born exactly or where I grew up and you're French, you might straight away put me into a box or just already have an idea of the expectations you have around me, or like you know, you've already judged me in a way, and that can be very limiting. But here in the UK, like I sound French. So, you know, like usually like people attach to me some French stereotypes, which is very funny. It's like even, and I used to have a lot of fraudulent feelings around it. Like when I'm sometimes invited to speak about, oh, like Parisian fashion and like dressing like the French, because I'm like, oh, hold on, you mean me? I don't know if the French would be happy to to confirm that, but so I think it comes with privilege that here it's like, oh, she sounds French, therefore, and that's it. You can't, that we have no mutual references. Where I was born, where I grew up, like, it wouldn't tell you anything, like, to put it into the context of, you know, like, what it means in the French culture. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it absolutely does. It really, really does. If you kind of think about, and especially for anyone listening that, especially anyone that's younger that's listening that has also, you know, maybe had that experience, whose parents may be immigrants, who's maybe just, or for any other reason, feels that they just don't quite fit in at school. What would your advice be to them?
I think my advice would be that the world is a lot bigger than what, like, what we think, especially now in the era of social media. We all live in bubbles, and it's important to really be aware of it. Whatever idea you think of your world, it's not, it's a complete different idea of someone else's idea of what the world is. And this is also like a freeing thought, because it means that tomorrow, and you don't have to move in another country, even moving in another city, you know, like even being far from the people you grew up with and the people who really know you, it really allows you as well to just explore who you are more. So whenever somewhere feels too confining, just switch up places.
Wow, I love that.
Move somewhere else.
So Freddie, what was then your second defining moment?
My second defining moment, I think I would say, interesting, because like, so with this one, I have kind of like two in mind, but they happened within this, like, you know, like a few months, but they were, yeah. That moment, I think, is the, when I was let go, like the last job I had as a, as an employee, like the last job I had was 7 years ago. 6 years ago, and I was let go. So on that last day when they let me go, I remember even saying out loud in the room, oh, wow, my life is over. and actually, like, it just really started. I really think that, you know, like, even though I did a business school, and like you know, like I had been in the world of e-commerce as well before, and I never really had the ambition of starting my own business. Really, for me, my idea of a good career was to like kind of find the right lane, and I had been exploring, find the right lane, and then climb the ladder once you know, you're set on that lane. But I never had the ambition of having my like my own business, because for me it was just too risky, and it's just not me. Like, I just felt it wasn't me anyway. But yeah, I was let go of that last job, and it was such an odd job anyway. In the end, I knew, like, after that I kind of had to make my own. And so that's, I felt like I was kind of like forced into creating my own lane after years of experience, like years of just going different places. But that last blow was like, okay, I think you have to venture on your own.
I love that. I mean, I definitely think that, you know, I know that's actually one of the reasons I created this podcast, was to really inspire people to remember that whenever there is an end, there is a beginning. And I think that we can, we're so frightened of endings and of change, and it comes with so much unknown that we're almost programmed to fear. But actually, there is beauty in the unknown and in something ending, because it creates so much space for something new. And I love how you said you were just like forced into a different lane. And sometimes I think the kind of what somebody could take from that is actually we should put ourselves in our own lane or switch lanes before we get forced to. But hearing other people's stories like yours, can give us that kind of boost to go do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, and I think that we shouldn't really be so hooked on the way that we go about it, because I think there's a lot of sometimes, you know, you feel like you have to be such a hero. It has to be your own decision. It has to come from you. And funny enough, is that at the time I had said that in a few months, I thought I was going to leave this job and try something else. Yeah, I started my career like in finance, in banking. Mm. And I really thought I wanted to become a trader, and I really thought I was into it. But then turned out quickly, you know, like after like finishing school and started working in a bank, that wasn't going to happen. I really had little interest in it. And so then I changed career, and I got into, it was at the beginning of Web 2.0, and I was really excited about this and the startup world, etc. So I started working in e-commerce and digital marketing. But then so when I moved to London, that was mostly in mostly like the jobs that I had. But I worked in fashion almost accidentally like that. So I worked for ASOS, for Topshop, and for Vestiaire Collective, but in digital marketing. And that's when I was in this job that, like, slowly I realized that I wanted to do something a lot more creative. I was surrounded with this clothes all the time, but my job was so far removed from all of that. So I had access to all of those clothes, you know, for cheap. So I had so much that this is how I started, like, a fashion blog, kind of like fashion/diary. blog, and that was just a way, because I was really starting to dislike my career, and I felt really panicked. It's like, oh, not again, you can't change again, you need to stick to a lane and finally start growing in that lane. Mm. So the idea of the blog was really to do that at the weekend. It would just like take me and my husband on the streets of London, exploring the city, take photos. It was kind of like a way to just claim my weekends and do something fun. But that was just it. And also, I just thought maybe it's the portfolio of, I don't know, maybe a career switch into styling, or I don't know. So then after that, I had this opportunity. It was a job at ASOS, which was a very odd job. That was at the time where influencer marketing was really starting to get big. So ASOS had this idea of creating this ASOS stylist role, where it was very much being like a blogger, but an ASOS branded blogger. So I had this handle, ASOS Freddy, and my teammates had also like ASOS blah, blah, blah. And they had this chat function on the site where we would help people with their shopping and with their styling, and they could. So we had to produce a lot of content because we all had different styles, and it was kind of like people could pick who they wanted to like to chat with because they like their styles, etc. So that was the last job I had, and it was a big 360 from like a lot of Excel spreadsheet based job to which I found too, you know, too just like restrictive, not creative enough. This was a bit too much for someone who had really refused to see her creative side for so long. That was too much of a shift. I thought that job was a bit too like superficial, and I felt like people were very complimenting me or very like liking me but without me being really open, like without them really knowing about all of the struggles I had. You know, I'm someone who has really suffered. Like, you know, I think like many people that have insecurities, but I think being very introspective, dramatic, intense, and all of this mixed together, you know, I've really suffered from like low self-esteem and like for like a very long time. So I just wanted, like, if people were going to like aspire to be more like me, I just wanted them to know more about the ways that I was using to kind of like work on myself, because self-development, self-growth, if this is a hobby, then this is my hobby. Like, I've always been like really obsessed with all of the self-help different things. So I wanted to do something more with that, and I was kind of like expressing it more into my role, and that's not really what they were into. And I think the that whole job in itself wasn't really working for them on their end. I don't know if they were really getting what they wanted out of the this sort of like this whole initiative, like ASOS Stylist. So yes, they let me go, and I just thought, what am I going to do now? I had thought I wanted to do something more around confidence, like really helping people, helping more people around that. And I thought I was going to leave this job and do something on my own. But, you know, I don't know if I would have had the courage to really do it. So when they kicked me out, I was like, okay, now what? So that kind of like pushed me to really be serious about it. And that forced me into my next move. And I did a first like a coaching course, like a well-being coaching course, wanted to really understand more. And I don't know if I'm just going too much into details now.
Not at all. I love this because it's so great. There's not just one career change, but another is in a way, you know, not as maybe as drastic as finance to fashion, but well, I guess it is. And then you went into coaching and confidence. And I think I really relate to you. And I actually never want to bring anything back to me when I'm interviewing other people, but the way you got into expressing what was really going on, I found strangely, like eerily similar, because I was kind of doing very low level for me, but it was very low level, you know, Instagramming, etc. And I remember thinking, no, I need to tell people the truth about how I feel. Like there's a social responsibility to be honest about other things that aren't just about what's on the surface. So I don't know, I feel very, I just loved hearing it because I really related to it.
I love that. No, like, and I think that, it's really needed. At the end of the day, like those social media platforms, they have really helped us make those realizations about ourselves that, how we want to express ourselves, what we want to express, or just the fact that we want to express ourselves in the first place.
Hello, sorry to interrupt your podcast. We didn't do that. It's just been magically done for us. We do a podcast, which I think you might like if you like this podcast. Our podcast is called The A to Z of Men with me, Chris Brooks.
And me, Scott Robinson.
And what's the podcast about, Scott?
I mean, what we're doing really is giving you an insight, a delve into the male mind. We're going through the alphabet letter by letter. I submit a word, Chris submits a word, and we battle it out to see what word goes into the A to Z of Men.
And you can get us wherever you get your podcast from. Just search for the A to Z of Men.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So let's move on to your third defining moment.
My third defining moment. So, you know, like moving from the first like to the third, I would say that even, you know, when I get into confidence and I started my workshop, then I still change, right? Like right now I'm like the, you know, founder, CEO of a beauty startup, which is like yet another change that happened almost accidentally again. But what I would say is also that with this whole self-exploration, you know, I always think that what happens in my career is also what happened in my profession, like my personal life, like side to side. Like I was telling you, I'm so into like self-growth and, you know, like my own explorative journey. And so all of the progress that I make personally is really what helps me, and professionally doesn't really do a justice at summing up what I do. Like what I, like, I think I'm someone who, like what I do for a living really has to embody who I am. So like the journeys are really intertwined. There's a lot of fluidity because of that, I think. So I will always keep on look for myself, and I think my career would always evolve because of that. So the third moment that really defined me, and it's my dad's passing 4 years ago. Like my dad was he passed away out of the blue, and he was one of my ultimate best friends. He was someone who, you know, I was telling you before, I was always felt really weird. I always felt a bit like the black sheep, and, you know, someone who just a bit like thinks too much, feels too much. The one, oh, just like chill. Oh, why are you so dramatic? And he's always like really understood me. And I've always been also someone who, I would say, I feel like I'm a very scared person. I'm scared of small things, but then I do things where you would think I'm brave, you know, like my whole like career journey, etc. My dad would always encourage me about, you know, he would always tell me about how brave I am, how brave I don't know I am, and how, anyway, so we had this really super close relationship, and I think he was like my life coach before I even knew what a life coach was. So losing him 4 years ago has to be part of those three moments that made me, because one of my biggest fear was to lose him. I don't know, I somehow always knew that I would lose my dad early. You know, I think he was like very sensitive, very, very sensitive. And, you know, men like him from his time, they don't last long because of that. So I kind of like always knew that he would, I would lose him early. And when he left, it's like all of a sudden I was literally living on the other side of fear. You know, so it was just happening. My worst fear had happened, and I was still standing. And that really also expanded my world and changed it, because I've been lucky that I haven't experienced grief really before that, you know, and I was 30 when my dad passed, so I hadn't really like experienced anything like that before. And so I never really thought, I had lots of questions about where do we go, like what happened, but I wasn't really venturing there. And losing my dad, it kind of like pushed further the borders of our world, really, because all of a sudden it was, well, where is my favorite person in the world right now? And so it really, like the spiritual journey that I was already on, got, you know, it kind of like changed everything. Like everything got so much deeper. My interests, so many things happened, like the people I've met because of that. All in the name of, you know, just this exploration of like, where is he, and also like if I'm going to be alive, like if I'm going to be here until I see him again, then when I'm going to be alive then, and yet then I'm going to, you know, I don't know, someone with lots of questions. And the person answering them is not here anymore. So I think somehow it, like, this is the most like heartbreaking thing that happened to me. And what I'm about to say is something that I had found very hard to say, but it's the truth. I can't put it any other way. It's the fact that it's also, I think I love the person that I've become ever since. And I feel like in ways my life has never been better. But it's like, it sounds awful to say, and it's, but I don't know. Like, I think from like the, maybe because it's like heartbreak from falling into pieces, you know, you can only build yourself up again. But it's also like living on the other side of fear. And I think something has to be said by the fact that, you know, you then have someone on the other side. Because I think he definitely pulled some strings for me.
I think that is... firstly, just thank you so much for sharing that so vulnerably and, you know, openly. And I think that I love what you say there, that there's something to be said for living on the other side of fear. And, like, you know, that was your greatest fear. And then to see and feel that you were strong enough to live through that fear coming true and to come through to the other side, is, it must make you feel just so strong and so much more fearless with everything else that you do in life. Is that right?
Definitely it does. And I think also the how I perceive the world and kind of like the where I am right now with the meaning of, with my concept on the meaning of life, etc. It's pushed other fears. It's transformed other fears I had. It's kind of like it changed everything. I think sometimes like things get so dark that you're forced to see that surely it can't be that dark. There's like more of a reason to it. There's more to it. And that's kind of like the corner where I've been pushed.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so sure that, I love that you said he's pulling some strings for you. And I absolutely am so sure that he is. I think that is such a, yeah, I'm really touched by your story there. I'm really, really touched.
Oh, thank you,
Roxy. And so... what are you doing now? Tell us a bit about where you are now.
Where am I now? So so right now I'm the CEO and founder of a startup called Ratfun, which is my God, I always say I have to work on my elevator pitch and I never work on it. But I'm the founder of a beauty startup. What we do is that we want to be the leading conscious beauty brand built with and for the African diaspora. And we started with hair extension, which is a market that totally needs to be upgraded and dignified when it comes to Black women, because it's so part of our self-expression and so part of our fluidity, you know, like I call us the shapeshifters, and Ratfun is the brand that aims to serve the shapeshifter. And yeah, like this again was like, you know, from that second moment I was telling you about of like having been let go of my last job, it's you know, like after that, and even when I had made this change from marketing to be more into like, you know, styling, and before that, like finance, I think like having, this was the beginning of approaching my career as something a lot more fluid. Like it doesn't define you at all. It's kind of like it goes with your journey of life as well. If anything, you know, it helps you understand more about, you know, about who you are. It shouldn't go like the other way, like who you are determines what you do. So where I was going with that is that the I think like the second moment that I credited earlier is really what led me to this journey as well, because that's something that I never thought I would do, never thought I would have my own business. But, you know, shortly after launching my confidence workshop, my husband got offered a job completely out of the blue in Geneva in Switzerland. And I just thought, we were like, okay, we should go. This is an amazing opportunity. But I had literally just, you know, launched this this confidence workshop like 2 months after being let go of. And I just thought I need to have a quick side hustle. And that's how like the hair business came straight away, because I was already, I had designed this product for myself with hair extensions I was wearing. You couldn't find them anywhere else. But I was, you know, not blogging about hair because I'm like clueless about hair. And I just like built something that was for someone clueless like me. And I didn't know that we were all clueless. Like, oh, so many of us were clueless. So I was like, okay, I need to have a side hustle quickly if I'm going to go to Switzerland and all of a sudden and having to stop what I had just started, what I thought was my next move. So being open-minded to that, that kind of led me to being a beauty startup entrepreneur. So that's like initially it was called Big Hair No Care. That's the first business that's how it was called initially. You know, like I know that people were really interested into my hair, made it into a brand, a product. And because I already had a bit of an audience, and doing that, then we did a few pop-ups offline, meeting the people we were serving to kind of like keep on learning. And that's when, on the back of that, it got so popular that I turned this into Rathwon. And two years and a half ago, raised money from US investors. At the time, I think there was only maybe 50 Black women who had raised over $1 million, like, you know, globally, like in the world, in the history. So that was definitely also a defining moment. And this is how, Rathwon came to be. And this is why I am on my journey now. But even now, I'm also learning, you know, like these last 2 years have been an exercise as well in crafting my role again, like my path. I just need to accept the fluidity in the way my career evolved. So next time we speak, Moxie, I don't know what I would be telling you about where I'm at.
Well, I feel like you've had so many lifetimes. So many journeys, so many experiences, travel, you know, is clearly something that really is just such a huge part of your life, you know, from Shanghai to now in Geneva and London and France. It's amazing. And you have such a warm energy. And I have no doubt that you're going to keep telling lots of different stories. And inspiring others as you do. So thank you so much for sharing your moments with me.
Thank you so much for having me, Roxy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Oh, before you go, I just have a couple of quick fire questions.
Of course.
So the first one is, what is your most memorable book?
The Seat of the Soul.
Your favorite quote?
I think at the moment, because they change, at the moment, it's the brightest diamonds come from the deepest minds.
I love that. Your most influential mentor?
You know, it's going to... Who is... It's hard to pick one because I have really different inspirations. But, you know, I really love Oprah. Still really love Oprah. And then even like now, like her podcast and her shift into wellness. And good mentor from a distance.
I love that. Your go-to feel-good film?
Love Actually.
Oh, so good. a moment where you felt most proud?
But I think it's recently, you know, it's the realization that I have two human beings that I've created. I'm still coming to terms with that.
A song that cheers you up?
many, honestly, so many. So it's very hard to say. I would say, I don't know. Oh, right now comes to my mind. What is the name? Buttercup, you know, Fighter, you feel me?
Oh, yeah. I do. I love that song. Your top tip for dealing with stress?
Breathing. And I know it sounds so annoying and like so basic, but as someone who really struggles with anxiety, breathing really goes a long way. Really barely breathing.
Absolutely agree. And the last question is, who is the first person you call to share good news?
My husband.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, definitely him. He's like, he's my best friend slash life coach slash somebody. Especially, you know, like post lockdown, I feel like
so sweet. Freddie, thank you so much for being such an amazing guest today, and I can't wait to see what's next.
Thank you so much, Roxy.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinis. I'm Kayla Itzinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.